I must tell a funny story of my mum. Ben, as it's my turn. Is there something wrong with the middle lights? We had a lot of fun growing up, and so my brother and I, there was just the two of us, my brother and I. He was 4 years older than me. He's the runt of the litter. He's only 6 foot. And, excuse me, that was a Gerald joke. So anyway, my mother used to have a mat in the kitchen, right, Mum? The mat by the sink. It was called the Fainites mat. You know, do you have Fainites? Is that an English thing? You know, when you have Fainites, it means if she ran and stood on that mat, we couldn't get her. It was the only place in the house she was safe. And yeah, we had a great childhood, and used to beat our mother up quite regularly. And but if we could catch her before she jumped on that mat, I mean, it was really funny because I don't know why I'm going to tell you this, but I just feel like telling you. You know what I mean? So imagine my mother would be working at the sink, you know, doing the dishes as usual. And then my brother would come behind her and get his butt under hers and then lift her up like that. Of course, she's now stuck at the sink going like this. Of course, she'd start laughing. Put me down, put me down. He said, no, you're not your fainters mat anymore, because he'd lifted her off of it. So I don't know why I'm telling this story, but our fond memories of the couch, or the settee, as we call it in England. And when she gave us a hard time, because she used to give us a hard time, she used to use their elbows. In case you mothers don't know this, don't hit your kids, especially boys. They laugh. Elbows. Right, Mum? Use your elbows, because they're, whoa! You know, are any of you mums listening to me? Elbows. So she'd pick on us, as off she did. My brother and I would grab her, throw her on the floor. Well, not too hard, but we get her on the floor. And then we'd pick her up hand and foot. He'd grab, like, one hand, one foot, and I'd grab the other hand and foot. And then we'd swing her. One, two, three. And we'd launch her across the room onto the couch, which didn't last too long. I don't know why. Seemed to be always often buying new couches. And so now you understand why I like rugby so much. And but that was what we used to do, used to throw my mother around. But she'd just laugh. So what are you going to do? You know, it's like your kids. You know, if you slap them around right, they laugh and toughens them up, I guess. So that's why my mother's so tough, is my brother and I toughened her up. And but I appreciate, Mother, everything you did for us. Our home was a great place of hospitality, wasn't it, Mum? When I would come home from night school, there'd often be seven motorcycles parked outside my house. All my mates, they'd come round, and just because I wasn't there, it didn't matter. They'd still come in. My mum was making them tea and sandwiches and cookies and all that, and they'd all be in there talking to my mother, and my brother's friends all the same. So our house was always the meeting point. If ever we were going to do anything, it was come to our house. And consequently, my mother was invited to every single wedding, weren't you? You were the only mother that went to every single wedding of all my friends. So, you know, often I'd come home and the place is packed because of her hospitality. So I appreciate that, Mum, teaching us hospitality. Oh. There you go. Well done, Mum. Who likes chick flicks? Raise your hands. Hey, I'm looking for the guys here. Good. A few guys like chick flicks here. Well, you know what was voted the number one chick flick of all times? Number one chick flick of all times. Beaches. That was number one chick flick of all time, voted on AOL. So, yeah, which kind of surprised me, that Bette Midler, right? Can she sing or can she sing? Well, you know that song that rocked that movie, you remember? Did I ever tell you you're my hero? I know it's called Wind Beneath My Wings, but that, did I ever tell you that you're my hero? Well, my mother is one of my heroes because she encouraged me when I was 14 at school. She encouraged me to go on a school journey, right? I went on my first school journey when I was 10 years old, away for 2 weeks with the school, another part of England. But when I was 14, I went to France, Switzerland, Germany, Luxembourg, and Belgium for the school journey. And my mother encouraged me to go on that. She always encouraged me to go and see and discover. And when my mother retired at 62 years old, at 62, she retired, and from that time, she's been 5 times to Israel, 5 times to Africa, 20 or 21 times to America. She's been to China, Australia, New Zealand. When we all went to Australia in 1992, I think it was, well, I went there with my wife and 5 children. We were there for 4 months. And when we left, she got the opportunity to go to New Zealand. She met somebody and they said, oh, my sister lives in New Zealand. And my mom said, oh, I'd love to go to New Zealand. She said, oh, I'll call her. So my mom says, all right. So she flew to New Zealand on her own, was there for 2 weeks. She was young then. She was only like 76, 77 then, weren't you? And went over there and actually stayed in the house of an all black. Ah, you don't know what that means, none of you, but I do. You know, the All Blacks are people who play rugby for New Zealand, which is meant to be the ultimate team, and she went and did it, something I would cut an arm off for. And so I'm saying that because she is one of my heroes. She's 92 years young, and still, you know, she said, I heard her talking to Wendy today saying, oh, yeah, I want to buy more of those because they're much cheaper here than they are in England, so it's much easier for me to stock up on them here and take her back. You know, she's still got dreams and visions of life at nearly 93 years old. So that's why I want to encourage you. Let me say this. I'm going to say this. Guests, welcome to the Vineyard. Every now and then you get Vaughanisms. This is a Vaughanism. If you don't have a sense of purpose in life, get a bag, put it over your head, duct tape, because you're just wasting oxygen. You know, I want to encourage you. If you don't have a sense of purpose, God wants to give you one. He wants to give you a sense of purpose. My mother arrived on a Wednesday, late in the evening. She sat down, and the next day was Silver Saints. And I said, Mum, she said, what? She's just flown across the Atlantic, right, 92 years old. I said, we got a lunch tomorrow for the Silver Saints. Okay. You're speaking. Okay. No arguments. You're going to talk about the war and the Blitz in London during the war. Okay. Thought, you go, girl. She's 92 years old, has no warning that she's going to speak the next day, and she's okay with it. So I want to encourage you, get this sense in your heart that you are alive for a really great reason. Every one of you, no exceptions. And I really want you to fulfill that reason and that purpose. It's my main reason for living. That's why I don't wear a plastic bag. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. If that was taped, was it? So if you're listening on the internet, come look, see for yourself. And if you don't, if you're being critical, get a life. Try Jesus. Okay. Last week I spoke a message called True Faith. True Faith. And we tried to tear down some of the superstitions, some of the foolishness that we have of what we think faith is. So we want to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I need to say this. God's been speaking to me a lot, and I'm sure he speaks to you all the time as well. The Bible says the sheep hear his voice. I'm one of his sheep, so I hear his voice. And I want to encourage you. I know at times I can be difficult to live with. I know that I can be I don't know how to put this without just putting it. You know, I can be rude, I can be arrogant, and yada, yada, yada. Okay, for that, I need to grow and develop, and I need your forgiveness. But there's one thing I'll never stop being as long as I'm on this earth, and that is I'll never stop being real. So I will continue to be real. I will continue. I cannot be a plastic pastor. That to me is an affront to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That to me is insulting God. So I can't do that. Are we okay? You know I don't suffer fools gladly, but I'm getting better at it. I just need to tell you that. But God's really been speaking to my heart. I need a visitation. I need a visitation. I'm perfectly satisfied. I have no problems with my marriage, my money, this church, you lot, the leadership, none at all. But I'm getting a hunger again. I'm getting a hunger, and I need a visitation. Now, there's a move of God you may have heard down in Lakeland, Florida. Has anybody heard about it? I got a phone call from there just yesterday, an old friend of mine, somebody I've known since 1985. That's not what I'm looking for, and I'm not resisting it either. But I need a move of God in my life. I cannot, I've been pastoring here for 7 years. I can't just do this for another 7 years. Is that okay? Can we understand that? Oh, I'm not leaving, but I can't just do this for another 7 years. I have to have something to touch me on the inside out. Are we okay? Is anybody getting scared? I just want to encourage you and tell you that, to let you know, if you see Vaughn getting a little weirder than usual, handle it, because I'm not going to resist it. I'm trying to let God have his way in my life. I'm trying to let him take control of everything I can give him. And I'd encourage you to maybe take the ride with me. I don't know what would turn up. I don't know what to expect. But life in these United States, the greatest country in the world, is not satisfying to me. Are we okay? It's not satisfying to me. I've tasted something else. You understand? It's like after you've eaten chicken curry and then somebody hands you a bit of dry bread. You go, chicken curry, dry bread, chicken curry, chicken curry. You've tasted something. And I think all of us at some time in our walk with Jesus Christ have tasted something. And I need to taste something. I need to taste and see that the Lord is good. I'll say this. I don't know how else to say it. In 1985, God spoke to me. I'm saying this boldly. God spoke to me and said, the last great move of God on the earth is going to be a move of love. And we've had healing moves. We've had the laughter. I hope it comes back. I'm not resistant to any of that. We've had the shaking. We've had the, financial stuff. You know, what do we call it? The prosperity. We've had all those things. But the Bible says very clearly in the book of Galatians chapter 5 that faith works through love. And there's many things God does, but there's only one thing he is. God has anger. Don't ever forget that. God has wrath. Don't ever forget that. And he will pour that wrath on this earth, not on us, because the Bible says 5 times we have been saved from the wrath to come. God has wrath, God has anger, but God is love. Anyway, so I wanted to tell you that in the most unemotional ways I could find, which was now, that I am looking to be baptized in that anointing because God told me that he's going to use me in that revival. That's 22 years ago. And with faith and patience, I'm waiting to inherit that promise. You can't ever be baptized with the spirit of love that God has available if you're not real. He can't baptize hypocrisy. He can't baptize religion. He can't baptize tradition. He can't baptize any of that. He can only baptize those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. So I just felt it was my job before God as the pastor of this house to inform you of where I am at the moment. Is that okay? Anybody scared? I can discern there's some fear going on. This happens every now and then in my life because, you know, I've been to 72 countries. I've ministered in 40 nations. I've had 5 children born on 5 different continents. I've prophesied over thousands and thousands of people. I must have prayed for at least 10 to 12,000 people to speak in tongues. I've led I don't know how many people to the Lord. I've had a visitation from Jesus 3 times in my life, which I've never told any of you. And I can't believe that all that has happened just for ordinariness. Are we okay with that? So, that's where I am tonight. It's going to be a tough act to follow, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Father, I have absolutely no idea how to pray tonight. Absolutely no idea. Except you know my heart, you know our hearts. And I need a visitation from you, Lord. And as many as agree with me. I'm not asking, I'm not saying the visitation will be tonight, this month, this year. But all I want to say is, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, into our midst. And visit us. And change us. You said that when we see you, we shall be like you. And Father, I know that with our natural eyes, we won't see you, but with our faith eyes, we will see you. Job once said, in my flesh, I will see God. So Father, I just ask that we see you in a new light, in a new way, so we can rejoice in the understanding that Jesus is coming again to the earth, coming for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, coming to gather us. And I'm just really thankful for that thought. So, Father, our ears and our eyes, you made them. Lord, may they function correctly tonight. Anoint the word. Because it's your word, and just give me wisdom in how to share it. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, I preached a message called True Faith. This week, I'm preaching a message called Your Faith. Your Faith. Now, I'll explain more next week, but I just want to encourage you that if you are born of God, you do have faith. Don't matter how little it is or what you may think you lack it, you do have faith. You have, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, when Peter said, I write to you of like precious faith. So the first thing I want to say is your faith is precious. Your faith is precious. It is more precious than anything you possess. It is more precious than your spouse. It is more precious than your children. It is more precious than your mother. Here we are, Mother's Day weekend. It is the most precious thing. And why? Because Hebrews 11 says this in verse 6, without it, faith, you cannot please God. Are we okay? Hebrews 11, 6 clearly says, without faith, it is impossible. Somebody say impossible. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, I know we said this before, but let's say it again. If you are not pleasing God, you can't possibly be pleasing your spouse. Does that make sense? If you're not pleasing God, you cannot possibly be pleasing your children. If you're not pleasing God, you cannot possibly be pleasing anybody with any relationship you're in. Because how can you be pleasing anything if you are not pleasing God? So therefore, every relationship we have in life comes out of a relationship knowing that our faith pleases God. And if God is pleased with me, then surely all relationships come out of that understanding that I'm in a good place with God, therefore I have confidence to come to you. Are we okay? You see, if you're not sure you're in a good place with God, then how do you feel when you have to go to somebody else? Because you don't really feel that confident, do you? But when you go, God's got your back, then you know your marriage is going to work. When God's got your back, then you know your kids are going to be okay. When God's got your back, then you know your finances and your health and everything's going to be okay, because you know that God is pleased with you. And therefore, hey, if God be for us, isn't that what the scripture says? Therefore, by faith, I please God, and now nothing can be against me because God is for me. It's so important to get this. This is why it is so important for you to understand that you're a righteous person. The more you understand you're righteous because of Jesus, the more you're confident of standing before God, coming boldly into the throne of grace. And as a bold person standing in the throne of grace, you don't have to sort of, oh, flinch every time you talk to God, in which case then you don't flinch. Why do you think I get so bold when I preach? Why do you think I get so bold? Because I'm confident that the Word of God is what actually ultimately produces the faith, and therefore it's that I speak. Are you with me? Okay, let's read that. Oh, thanks, Daniel. Without faith, it's impossible. Somebody, impossible. Say impossible. Okay, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. And the next part is very nice, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Somebody say diligently. Okay, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let me just say this. All of us, we earn wages, salary, whatever you want to call it. The Bible never once has a positive way of using the word wages. In the book of, is it Haggai or Habakkuk? Help me, somebody. It talks about you eat and you're still hungry, you clothe and you're still cold, and you earn wages and put it in a bag full of holes. You know that scripture? So a negative thing about wages. And there's another negative thing about wages. You've heard it in Romans chapter 3, I believe. The wages of sin is death. So nowhere in the Bible is the word wages really used in a positive way, but the word reward is always, nearly always used in a positive way. So what we've got to see as believers, get your mind out of wages and get your mind into reward. Are you with me? So rather than just every day trying to think, oh, can I earn more money? Can I get a better job? Wages. Can I diligently seek him? Reward. You see, with the wages doesn't come a happy marriage. With the wages doesn't come happy kids. With the wages doesn't come happy person. But with the reward comes happy marriage. With the reward comes happy children. With the reward comes happy self. Are we okay? Are you sure? Do I need to say it again? I will. So, but we don't think that way, because when we're raised, we think, education, good. Education's good. School, college, education, good job, career, wages. But the Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. It teaches he, God himself, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So diligence is the issue. The Bible says the hand of the diligent shall rule. Can I just get cultural here a second? Us Americans, don't you like it when I say that with that accent? Us Americans, right? I'm an adopted American. I'm an American. So, by choice, which you ain't. So, I'm an American by choice. Us Americans are very gift-orientated. We're gift-orientated. We love to follow charisma. We love to follow, like, for instance, we think sports stars are worth following. I mean, some of them are as dumb as dirt, man. I mean, gifted off the chain, you know, but dumb, duh. So because we tend, and now, listen to this, we follow movie stars, right? 98% of them are heathens. Okay. We follow movie stars because they're charismatic and beautiful and gifted. And most of them, Tom Cruise style. So we follow them, listen to their opinion, because they're gifted. But what about the character? Why do you think the vision statement of our church is to build a community of compassion and character? Not giftedness, character. So, the hand of the diligent shall rule. And so, therefore, as a culture, we have historically tended to follow charismatic leaders and not look towards diligent ones. Because we're looking for a quick fix because we're a quick fix society, all right? So let's remember that. The hand of the diligent shall rule. And we were born to rule and reign with Jesus Christ according to the Bible. Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's talk about your faith. Verse 1. I'm going to read from the New International Version for a change, and Daniel's going to have the New King James behind me. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Okay, let's stop here right now. Hebrews 11:1, describing faith, defining faith. This is the definition of faith in the Bible. Would you Bible scholars agree with me? Okay, the first thing it says is this. Now faith is. It doesn't say tomorrow faith is. It says now faith is. Now, the beginning of the book of Hebrews, I don't know if you're a Hebrew scholar, but this is what really a book of Hebrew scholar, probably the second best book to study after the book of Romans, if you want to really understand your salvation. Really understand it on a legal sense. In other words, something that you could stand before a judge and a jury and define your salvation out of the book of Hebrews. All right, those of you who love the Bible would know what I mean. So early on in the book of Hebrews, I want you to hear this. This is teaching, by the way, guys. Vaughan's not preaching this week or this month. This is all teaching. We should have pens and pads and things. I forgot to warn you. I didn't. I mentioned it last week. But so, do you remember in the book of Hebrews, I think it's chapter 1, chapter 2, maybe a little bit in chapter 3, it says, today, if you hearken to my voice, and harden not your hearts as in the day of rebellion. It says, today, if you listen to my voice. It doesn't say, listen, one day. It says, today. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. The scripture actually says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't say nothing about tomorrow. Stay with me now. So what I'm saying to you today is today, if you hearken to my voice. Can you understand what faith is? Faith is a now reality. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence, the proof, the reassurance of things not seen. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Are you folks doing all right? Do I have to slow down? I think I'm going slowish. All right, let me explain again faith. Let me just see where I've got this. The scripture also talks about in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, it says that with faith and patience, Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, it says in verse 11 and 12, again the New International Version, it says, we want each of you to show this same diligence. Can somebody say diligence again? Diligence. Have we got this word diligence twice now? Okay, we're in the book of Hebrews, same author to the same people. And it says this, Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, New International Version. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. Verse 12, we do not want you to become lazy. Well, I'm reading from the NIV. What does this say? Sluggish. The Greek word is nothros. For some reason, I know that. I don't know why. Sluggish. Now, I hate to say this. Do you know some of you are sitting there yawning? And I'd encourage you, if you can't stay awake, stand at the back, open the door, stand on one leg, do something to help concentrate. You know, this is not like college where you get, you pass the class, and then you get your grade, and then you forget it. Can somebody open those back doors, please, or put the air conditioning on? Somebody make a decision other than me. Thank you. Open those back doors, let some air in, please. Open the front door there, Pat, please. There's a stick there to keep it open. Okay, stay with me now. I know a lot of you hated school, and some of you did, loved it. This is a class tonight, right? Now, we don't want anyone to be lazy. That's what it says. That you do not become lazy, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherited, not earned, inherited the promise. Who, through faith and patience. Okay, Anglo-Americans. I are one. Anglo-Americans have this advantage. I do not know another country in the world historically that has greater faith than the Americans. Personally, I've never met one. The 72 countries I've been to, I think the Americans are possibly the most faith-filled nation in the history of the world. Patience? Ah, we have a problem, Houston. Are you with me? With all faith and drive-through windows, we inherit the promise. Right? Do you see the problem? Now, go back to verse. Can you go back to 11? We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Until the end. Do you remember a few weeks ago I preached about whether you're birthing a mouse or an elephant? Does anybody remember that? I think a mouse gestation period, I can't remember, it's like 3 weeks or something. An elephant was like 20 months or something like that, you know. So, yeah, let's call it 2 years. So if you're birthing a mouse, you only need 3 week faith. But if you're birthing an elephant, you need 2 year faith. Are you with me? Now, we want to be diligent so that hope. Do you know that I can see this like E equals MC squared, but I don't know if I can explain it like that. You know, to me, it's just math. Okay, stay with me here. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the proof, the evidence of things not seen. So, with diligence, if you are not lazy to the end, then you will get what you hoped for. So let's see this, right? Let's say, for instance, I'm believing for a new car. I ain't, because I think the dumbest thing you can do is buy a new car and pay rent. But anyway, I thought I'd throw that out. Let's say I'm believing God for a new car. So suddenly, faith comes by hearing. And I've been praying like crazy. I've been building up my faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I've been praying and I'm just waiting to fit. You know, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. But Father, I gave away a car just 2 years ago. I've sown seed. Lord, I'm holding fast to this confession. Now, I believe you're going to give me a new car. Thank you, Lord. Right? Now, faith is. But a car takes a little while to birth. Are you with me? So now I've conceived it. See, faith has to be conceived. And it's conceived now. That's why now faith is. You need to conceive whatever you're believing for. Let's say you've got a lousy marriage. Let's not say that. I'm trying to give an example. And the reason I'm not saying that is it's a bad confession for me, because I have a great marriage. Are we okay there? Did you notice the correction I just made? I made it on purpose. Right? Didn't want to curse my marriage, because you must hold fast to a good confession. That's all part of the faith. So in other words, and we doing all right, Grace, are you with me? It's the first time you heard me speak. Yeah, okay. Hold tight, girl. Right. Now I believe that God's going to give me a car. And then tomorrow, oh man, I've never had a new car in my life. I don't suppose I'll get one now. I've just killed the seed. I just got my, what do you call it? My, what's it called, that weed killer? With the, yeah, Roundup, is that what it is? I thought that was a Montana. No, there's another one I'm thinking of, that Agent Orange, that's the one I'm thinking of. Well, at least I got my point across, right? Are you with me here? Or how about another one? You have a bad back. And somebody prays for you. And suddenly your faith rises. And now I got it. God healed me. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And you hear God, you get that, you receive it, but does your back still hurt? Well, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen yet or felt or touched. You and me. This is why when people believe God for something and they don't feel it or see it, they stop believing and the Agent Orange comes out. Can I be bold? There's not too many children in here. Or you have an abortion. I know that sounds pretty rude, but I want you to understand my point. That when you hear from God and you believe, I'm so persuaded, God spoke to me that. And then the next day you say, no, I guess not. Agent Orange. Are you with me? You see, because part of faith is Jesus is the high priest of your confession. But you've conceived an elephant. Therefore, you have to hold fast to that confession for 2 years. Case in point, Father Abraham. Father Abraham. You're going to be the father of many nations. Okay. What's that mean? All right. Faith came. Are you with me? Faith came. And then over the years, doubt came. And when doubt came, Hagar came. And when Hagar came, Ishmael came. If you don't know the Bible very well, let me quickly explain what happened. In the moment of doubt, he went in his own flesh and went into his wife's servant, and she conceived, and Ishmael was born, and Ishmael just happens to be the father of the Arab race. Okay. Think about that. So can you see my point? Now, let's try and do it again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the very proof of things not seen. Okay, stay with me. Not easy, this preaching stuff. You know why? Let me tell you something. Do you know how many Christians actually don't have a clue what biblical faith is? They've got a lot of hope. The difference is this. Hope is knowing God can do it. Faith is knowing God will do it. And if you don't have biblical faith, you will live in hope the rest of your life. And faith may never manifest. Are you with me? This is why I'm going to get tough on this subject. I want to get tough on this subject so people will begin to move in faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Right. Okay, Vaughn. I think I may go back to the beginning and start again. What do you think? Faith conceives now, but it manifests later. Faith conceives now, but it manifests later. Now, some people get healed instantly. I can't explain that. That just goes ba-boom, just like that. Other people get healed through a process. Other people get healed a long time later. I don't understand it all. How many times have you prayed for stuff and it doesn't happen for 10 years? Abraham took 25. It took 25 years, but it said he did not stagger at the promises of God and did not consider the barrenness of Sarah's womb, even though it was dead. She was 75 years old. Past the age of menstruation, she was no more seed in her. Come on, somebody stay with me here today. Right? Now let me read to you what the scripture says about Sarah. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 11, somebody say Hebrews 11, 11. It says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. You got me there? By faith. Somebody say, by faith.
By faith.
It says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. She judged him faithful who had promised. Now, who can I use as an example? Do you have some people in your life that when they make you a promise, you subconsciously go, yeah, right, fat chance. Right? Now, let me say this, and I need to say this because so you help to. Some of you are divorced from that person. Some of you used to have parents who are that person. Some of you had school teachers who are that person, pastors who are that person, elders, deacons, whoever, who are that person. And we all let each other down. But the point is, God is not a man that he should lie. So therefore, we need to think that when we see a promise of God written in the Bible, we have to make a decision. Can I conceive that seed? Can I receive that because I consider him who promised? Not him, the pastor. Him who promised. And when we begin to see, you see how important it is? If you don't know what the Bible says and what the Bible promises, it's difficult to know what God wants to promise you in your life because you don't know what his promises are. All right? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. So if you haven't got the Word of God, it's hard to hear God's voice. Oh, God, I wish I hadn't started this. Thank you, Jesus. It's tough to teach faith in a, we're so sense-orientated, aren't we? We're so sense-orientated. You ever go in the, ladies, you walk in the mall, perfectly satisfied with the shoes on your feet. And then as you walk through the mall, you begin to look. And you begin to hear. You hear the voice of the mall. And it's the same voice in all malls in the world. And the voice sounds like this. You lack. Did you all hear that? You lack. You need another pair of shoes. And the voice of lack comes to us. And the voice of lack comes to our senses. And that's why so many people are in debt. Because the sense of lack makes them reach for the piece of plastic. And the piece of plastic say, now shoes is. So this, it becomes your faith. This becomes your faith. You see how dangerous that is? Now, I know I've told this story many times. I want to tell you again. When I first got to Jerusalem, Wendy and I hitchhiked from London, England to Jerusalem, Israel. Now, it's a long story. It took us 4 months. And in that time, I only had one pair of shoes. So by the time we hitchhiked from Jerusalem, London to Jerusalem, my shoes wore out. And they wore out pretty bad, actually. They were split right across the bottom, both of them. It was like another mouth to feed, you know? And so when I got to Israel, I needed a pair of shoes. And so one of the preachers came from Virginia, and he came, and he was a great preacher, and the power of God was moving, and he ended up on the floor. And as he was lying on the floor, I went up to him. Stick your foot out, girl. I went up to him, and I went like this, measuring my shoe up against his shoe, see, to see if we were about the same size, you know. Anyway, so everybody laughed, but people saw it, and they told him when he got up. And he said, oh, that's all right. He said, when I leave back to Virginia, I'll leave you my shoes. I went, yes. But he forgot. You see, because he was a great man of God, but he promised, but he forgot. We okay? I make promises and I forget. Okay. So, there went my pair of shoes back to Virginia. And then another guy, my pants were terribly worn out. Really, worse than Amber's. And, gotcha. And there was a guy there, same thing. It's what I call horizontal faith. Now, stay with me here, folks. Please listen to this. Horizontal faith. You look with your senses at someone who's your size. Horizontal faith. You look to your boss for the provision. You look, okay, ladies, I'm going to say it, to your husband for provision. Now, we've always been a single-income family, Wendy and I, ever since we've been saved, pretty much. She's had a couple of odd jobs here and there, bits and this and stuff, and help out, as she always does. But we've always been a single-income. But once Wendy decided that she was going to trust God for rice. Now, rice is my favorite starch. So she wanted to see her father provide rice for her family, her husband and five kids. And for 20 months? Nearly 2 years, she never bought a grain of rice. I didn't even know. She didn't tell me. Are you with me now? Because she wasn't trying out her horizontal faith. She was trying out her vertical faith. Right. So I was believing God, the guy who was my size, when he went back to Washington State, that he'd leave me his trousers, but he left as well. So I've still got two mouths to feed on my feet, and my jeans looking worse than some people I know. And then, all of a sudden, this little old lady, she's about this big. Was she that big? She was really little. No, it wasn't Sister Duke. It was, anyway, she came up to me. She said, Brother Vaughn.
Yes?
God spoke to me to buy you a pair of shoes. Oh, thanks. You see, it didn't come from where I expected. It didn't come from what my senses showed me it was going to come. And then Bert Singer, my buddy, the dancing Jew from Israel, I was very slim in those days. I only weighed 200 pounds. He was a foot shorter than me and a foot fatter. And he came up to me and he said, Brother Vaughn! I said, what? He said, try these pants on! And I looked at him. I mean, he's like... I went, okay. And I went in the bathroom, put them on, and they fitted perfectly. You see, because there was a vertical faith going on. Now, faith is. I was believing God that he was going to supply my needs. I had to conceive it, go through the motions of being in the flesh, living by my senses, relying on my wages. Instead, I sought God, and he rewarded me for my diligence. Faith. Are you with me? Some of you got that. That was a good example. Thanks. Thanks for reminding me of that. All right, let's quickly, can you handle another 10 minutes? If not, doors at the back. Oh, I've got it. Too much. Romans 4, 17 through 23. It's on your reading program. Take it home with you. Okay, here we go. So let's just touch again. I want to sort of make a confession. Hebrews 11, 3. Are you ready? Can we all make this confession? By faith. Let's make a confession you really could believe. Are you ready? By faith. We understand. That the worlds were framed by the word of God. Okay, again. By faith. we understand. By faith, we understand. Stop. It's not an academic ability. It's not an academic ability. I said this last week, I'll say it often. Peter was as dumb as dirt. The Bible says he was an ignorant and unlearned man. That's dumb. Paul was one of the most intelligent men who ever walked the earth. They both lived by faith. Why? Because they've been with Jesus. So it doesn't matter if you're really bright like some of us or really dumb like none of us. See the confessions? How high? As the pastor, I'm going to hold fast to that confession in this house. It doesn't matter what your academic ability is. By faith we understand. So therefore, when God tries to explain something to me, I go, okay, I understand that, Lord. And faith comes, I may not understand it for a mouse's age or an elephant's age, but I conceive it. Or do you say, oh, I can never remember scriptures? Who needs to repent of that tonight? Lots of us. Don't ever say that again. Don't ever. That is Agent Orange. On your by faith, we understand. By faith, we understand. By faith. How about the scripture that says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, I'll let it in. By faith. Go ahead, Lord. Boom. I got it. I don't know when it's going to manifest, but I got it. I've conceived it. Are we doing good? Are you sure now? Now, you can't learn math that way, or science, or mechanics, or construction. You've got to go to college. You've got to go to school. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual things, because faith is of the spirit. And understanding is a spirit. And wisdom is a spirit. So therefore, by faith, my spirit understands. Is it getting good yet? Are you sure? Is it getting gooder and gooder? By faith we understand. Scroll down now. See, that's how smart I am on my computer. It's got scroll down now. Okay, scroll down. Ah! Here we go. I'm going to... Who's got a reading program? You don't have one. Yeah, there's one. Who's... Please. Has everybody got one of these in the... It's on the back of Learn Guitar. Thanks, Fred. Everybody got one of these? Okay, quickly, can you share? Thank you. All right. So Monday, what are we going to read? Hebrews 11 says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Do you know what? Some people by faith subdued kingdom. I'm going to say something mean now. If you're a guest, this is your grace. Forgive me. Give me a little grace here on this one. I've watched some of you. You can't even subdue your kids. Come on. You can't even subdue your kids. Yet it says by faith they subdued kingdoms. So please, if you can't. By faith they subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Okay, these are some of the things we can do by faith. Tuesday, we're going to read, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is how you should read it sometimes. You young men, I want to challenge some of you young men. Read it like that. You quiet guys, and there's a lot of quiet guys in the church. There's nothing wrong with being a quiet guy. I used to be one. But without faith, it's impossible. Do you ever read the Bible that way? Do you ever like, or just go, oh, without faith, it's impossible. Please, God, those who come to him must know he is. And he's a reward. That's not convincing. You know what I'm saying? There's somebody within spitting distance of me right now who was telling him about how his five-year-old got off the school bus and ran into the road. And I'm sure they didn't say, oh, I wouldn't do that if I was you, son. That's not really a very good idea. You could get hit by a bus or a car or a truck or anything. Probably end up dead, you keep doing that, if you're going to have it. You know what I'm saying? Yet when we read the Bible, that will change your existence. I might laugh in a minute because I thought that was funny. Do you get my drift? Do you ever read the Bible? Let me try it this way. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those that come to Him must know that He is. And He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You get my drift? Try reading the Bible different. Please. All right, let's wrap this up. Luke, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. This is the story of the centurion. And turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And that great faith, Jesus said in Luke. Then Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Somebody say, your faith. Okay, your faith has made you well. I'm going to read a few verses here and then we're going to wrap up. Matthew 9:8 says this. Now when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. Do you realize God is sharing His power with you by faith? They marveled that God is sharing His power with men. Matthew 9:22. But Jesus turned around when He saw her, woman with the issue of blood. Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well, right? Not talking about God's faith, not talking about Jesus' faith, Paul the Apostle's faith, Vaughan's faith, your husband's faith, your parents' faith. Your faith has made you well. Verse 29, then he touched their eyes, blind Bartimaeus, and saying, according to your faith, let it be. Mark 9:22. How many your faiths are we going to go through here? There's only a few more. Bear with me. And it says, talking about a demon spirit and his son, and often he'd thrown them into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And listen to what the man said in Mark 9:22. He said to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe. I got to go there. How many times are we expecting Jesus to do something for us when He's waiting for us to believe? Right? Oh, Jesus, Jesus. He said, wait a minute, didn't I promise that you can do that? He's saying, don't ask me to do it. Can you believe it? All things are possible to those who believe. So therefore, it's got to do with your faith, not His faith. All right, immediately the father child cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's another sermon. I'm going to have to preach that sometime. Oh, the spirit of unbelief. Good Lord. Luke 7:42 said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That's a woman with the alabaster box. Luke 18:41-42 said, Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. So it's your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. If you can believe, according to your faith has made you well. God has given such power unto men. By faith we understand. Anyway, that's a bit of a mouthful. But if you need to hear it again, I'm sure the CDs are available. I want to get across to this church. It's time for us to live by faith. To walk by faith, not by sight. It's time for us to diligently seek God so He will reward us. How many of you, God, and I know a lot of you are in impossible situations? Well, nothing is impossible with God. So if you begin to learn the promises of God, conceive it, and begin to hold fast to it, the Agent Orange. Next week, I'm going to bring duct tape. Not for a ducky race. Duct tape. To wrap people's mouths once they've made a good, God's going to heal me, and then tape their mouth so they don't say anything else. My God's going to supply my needs, and then tape their mouth so they don't say any Agent Orange. It's a good idea, Lord. Not the best I've had this week? Okay, forget that one. So, I've said about everything I can say tonight. I'm just scratching the surface, and I want you to stay with me because I want to scratch this thing until we get rid of this itch that everybody's got called, I ain't satisfied with my life. I know God can do more, but it depends on your faith, not him. Are we okay with that? Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. I also want to thank you for Daniel for keeping up with me tonight with that screen. He did a real good job. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the worship team. I thank you for everybody that's contributing at the moment. I thank you, Lord, for gathering together the finances for the pregnancy center through the baby bottles. But Father, above all else, let's all stand and make one good confession. Let's say, Father, in Jesus' name, by faith I understand. Father, I believe. I can do all things through you who strengthens me. I can do all things through you who strengthen me. I am more than a conqueror. I believe your promises. And by faith, they will come to pass. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, you've got a lot of faith.